You guys go take some pictures. I hope you put some, like, you know, hors d'oeuvres out there or something until you get back. You know, am I lying? No, that's right. You know, you go through all that. It's like, man, where's the food? Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom was with them? He wanted them to know, what are you trying to achieve? I'm already here. Enjoy what the Father has given you. Jesus is out there, man. He's demolishing the kingdom of darkness. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's opening blinded eyes. He's raising the dead. And they're out here fasting. We're just going to reach God somehow if we can just not eat for 3 more hours. He's like, what are you looking for? I'm here. Praise God. What the Pharisees didn't realize, I love this, what the Pharisees didn't realize is that fasting, in case you ever wondered, in case you ever been in the midst of it and think, why am I doing this again? Fasting is not meant to change God's heart towards me. Fasting is meant to change my heart towards God. It's not a coercion. It's not a manipulation. Fasting is not intended to try to make God give us the things that we want. Fasting is meant to turn our heart and affections from the things of this world and onto God so that we can freely receive what He so graciously loves to give to us. He already wants to bless us. He's already looking for the opportunity. The problem isn't trying to get God's attention. It's God trying to get our attention because we're running so hard after everything else in the world that sometimes we need to just stop and fast in order to remember why we're really here. It's all about Him. Praise God. So number one, the gospel is offensive to religion because it freely provides what religion desperately tries to earn. Number two, the gospel is offensive to religion because the gospel liberates people and religion only enslaves people. Look at Mark 2:23. Now it happened that when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? They were offended. Verse 25. But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? He's talking about when David was fleeing for his life. King Saul was trying to murder him and sent soldiers out after him. David had to flee for his life, and he was hungry as he was basically on the lam from Saul. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Praise God. How many people here love to worship God? Love to worship God. Man, I love to worship God. Anybody here? I love to worship God. I love to worship God. Because when I draw near to God, what does He do? He draws near to me. I love to worship God. We were made to worship God. We are wired and designed to worship God. Not only that, but He is worthy of our worship. He deserves for us to worship God. It is right and fitting for us to worship God because He is all that we worship Him for. God had wanted a relationship of loving worship with Israel when He first gave them the law. And then when he did that, he set up various laws about the Sabbath in order so that they would have the freedom to worship him. Man, you know, when you have anybody here get blessed when they worship God? Does it make you want to love God even more when you just shout his praises and just draw near to him? He wanted to preserve that. He knew that if he didn't have something in place to preserve that, people would just go off and get distracted by all the millions of things that distract us in this world. So he set up these laws that forbid them to work on the Sabbath so that they could be free to worship him. It wasn't to keep them in bondage. It was to give them freedom. If I'm debating, well, man, I really got to fix the lawnmower. I really got to, you know, my buddy wants me to come in and help him do overtime, and I really didn't want to do overtime today. I wanted to worship, but he is my buddy and all this. So God knew that there would be all kinds of distractions to try to keep us from spending that time with him. So he gave those rules so that we could have the freedom to say, well, it's out of my hands. Law says I can't do it. I'm just going to worship God. Oh, well, everybody else will just have to deal with it. It gives freedom. But what happened was, back in the Bible times, over the years, they had these religious leaders who just started trying to interpret what the Bible was saying. They started adding all these conditions about the Sabbath, all these things. They said, well, let's just make it a little bit clearer. On the Sabbath, you not only can't do what Moses said, but you can't do this also. And then you can't do this also. You can't do this and that and the other thing and that other thing you were thinking about. No, you can't do that either. And by the way, as long as you're not doing that, you can't do these other things either. And while you're not doing those things, well, you can't do these other things. They just heaped literally hundreds of different laws and added it to Scripture to tell people what they could not do on the Sabbath. And it became literally paralyzing for people because they enforced that with intimidation and fear. And so they had all these things people weren't allowed to do. People literally lived in fear, paralyzed that they were going to somehow mess up and do something they weren't allowed to do and then just be in a mess of trouble over it. And instead of being a day of worship for God, it was a day of fear and intimidation. Now, man, where am I? Who knows why the disciples plucked the heads of grain? Say it loud.
They were hungry.
They were hungry. Very good. They were hungry. And the only way that they could eat it was to use their hands. Okay? I mean, they could have probably, you know, got down on their knees and just kind of gnawed at the stalk or something, but they were hungry. They were walking through a field. In order to eat, they had to use their hands. And the Bible permitted that. You go back to Deuteronomy, it says, you know, if you're walking through your neighbor's field, don't go, you know, harvesting his field, but if you're hungry, you can just pluck some of the whatever it is and eat it. It was biblical. It was okay to do. But the Pharisees treated it as though there was something illegal about it. They said, well, you know, they're pulling it off the thing. They're rubbing it in their hands before they stick it in their mouth. That's like harvesting and threshing, basically. And that's against the law. You can't do that on the Sabbath. Why are you letting them get away with that on the Sabbath? And Jesus is like, get a life. You really need a clue and get a life while you're at it. That's ridiculous. It's insane. If I can use the word, it's stupid. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying that you know, well, they had a law that says you can't lift heavy burdens on the Sabbath. They didn't want people, you know, doing commerce. So they had this law, you can't lift heavy burdens on the Sabbath. Well, that's like saying, well, you know, when you eat a bowl of cereal, you can't use a spoon because it's lifting. It's breaking the Sabbath law. You just got to put your face in the bowl and just eat, you know, eat from your mouth. Eat it dog style or something. That's ridiculous! But that's what a religious spirit will do. It just heaps rule after rule after rule to try to control the outward behavior instead of trying to transform the heart and letting God change a man from the inside out. That's what religion does. It creates hundreds of rules and paralyzes people, keeps them in bondage, intimidates them with fear, and does not lift a finger to give them the power to obey any of the rules that it creates. And so you just have people in bondage to sin, trying to cover it up as much as they can. That's why people who are just immersed in a dead religion live very outwardly very moral lives, because they are desperately trying to cover up the sin that they are in bondage to in secret behind closed doors. Because they've never been allowed to be transformed from the inside out by the power of the living God. They're just trying to keep a bunch of rules. And you know what? It doesn't work. I tried it. Before I came to know the Lord, I tried to be good. And failed miserably. But the gospel of Jesus Christ changes us from the inside out so that we begin to love to do what God has called us to do. I want to live for God. I'm in love with Him. He thrills me.